2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we move the deacons and ushers forward. We're going to be talking about God's economy again. And I titled the message, Push Your Passion Up Front. So passionate is something that's barely controllable. It's an emotion. Somebody should be able to see it if you're on fire for the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you're on fire for the Lord, let's just give them a round of applause today again. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. I'll start off and we'll talk about the contents of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. So the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and let me tell you the landscape here. He is talking to the church of Corinth, and he said, if you study on this, you find out that he's wanting to take up a collection for the church in Jerusalem. In the church in Jerusalem was struggling with a lot of financial loss because of local government oppression. I don't think it's irony that we're here today talking about this very text, that there seems to be sometimes in 2020 that we're feeling some pressure or some heat from outside sources that lie outside the boundaries of Christianity and or its church. Amen. And the Bible calls it oppression. It can't possess the church because it doesn't have the spirit of the church. So it can't possess the body of Christ. Watch this. The world can't have what we got unless they ask for it from the person who's the giver of it. That's called Jesus Christ. But I want to let you know today, it's available for everybody. All the world has to do is call on the name of Jesus, and they will be saved the same way you were. But here in this text, the Apostle Paul is telling the church in Corinth, hey, I'm going to stop by, we're going to pick up the offering, and we're going to take that offering along with the rest of the churches in northern Greece. We're going to take that offering up to the church in Jerusalem and help them out. So you know, in this climate right now, if a business doesn't have its employees and it doesn't have business and outside sources are telling you to shut down, they end up doing something that is called going out of business. There's a lot of churches right now in America that are going out of business just because they don't have the people and they don't have the funds and they don't have the pastors. Well, we're blessed here at Have Bible Will Travel that's not an issue. But nonetheless, hallelujah, but nonetheless. And tell your neighbor I'll drink to that. There's something very interesting in this text here, Carl, that lies in the pages of chapter 8. He said that we want you to know about the favor of God. So the favor of God is on the people who use the resources for kingdom expansion. God blesses those kind of situations. And right here he says, the grace of God has been given among the churches in Macedonia. And you say, well, what kind of favor was on the churches in Macedonia? He said that they gave not only out of their poverty, but they gave out of their extreme poverty. Say extreme. So we're in extreme, we're in extreme times right now. We needed an extreme God, and his name is Jesus Christ right now. And they gave out of their extreme poverty, and it overflowed into a wealth of generosity. So these people were given, their church was given out of their poverty, their extreme poverty, because they wanted to be generous, because they knew that being in God's economy is a place that they could be blessed all the time, regardless of what's going on out in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on out in the world. If you're in the kingdom of God, God's hand of protection is over you and your family. Amen. So listen to this, how passionate they were about this. In verse 4, if we can put that up, they begged us earnestly for the favor of taking part. They begged that they could be part of the giving in the middle of their extreme poverty. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm as broke as a joke and I can't pay my electric bill, would I still be able and still want to do all this stuff and give to the kingdom of God out of my extreme poverty? And then, like, could I beg you to be part of it? You go, well, why would he have to beg? Because the Apostle Paul was going, you know what, man, you guys are good. Just hold on. We got some other churches about. They go, no. We know what it's like to be blessed by God, and we're begging you. Whatever money we got, we want to put in the coffer, and we want to be blessed just like the rest of the churches in Macedonia. Amen? So it wasn't something like the Apostle Paul had to beg for. These people knew about the favor of God. And then if you were to read in chapter 9, it goes on to talk about sowing seed and all that kind of stuff. So let's pray for the offering today. So Father God, I thank our brothers and sisters here today at Have Bible know in real time what it's like to be blessed by the Spirit of God. And I pray that they are blessed, not just for the giving, but because they prayerfully give. They give with a cheerful heart, and they know what's going to you. And to an extent, grace to people who need it so desperately. So bless the offering today, Father God, and in your Son Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. So let's applaud the Lord as the offering is being picked up. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me into the book of Romans in the 12th chapter. I would say it's probably the most popular chapter in the book of Romans, and some people would debate with me on that. They would probably say, well, chapter 10 is, and that would be too. But I want you to put your hands on your Bibles, and I want you to rise with me as we pray and ask the Lord that we can get reverent through the power of the Holy Spirit. So rise with me, everyone. So, Father God, as we place our hands on the receipt book that we call the Bible, we want to adhere to the words that are here. We believe it's your love letter to your children, and we pray that we would be blessed by it in the contents that lie in these pages. And pray, Lord God, that we feel a movement of the Holy Spirit like never before. And we're praying in Jesus' name, amen. So you may be seated. The Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I told you that I was going to read 17 verses, then we'll go back and chop it up, but I can't get over the renewing of your mind part here. So let's talk about the renewing of our minds. So in the world, the TV and the social media and the think tanks and the think groups and the universities think if I have more knowledge in my head, somehow that all this knowledge is going to change my heart. And you can look out there right now and know that that just has not come true. Your mind doesn't change your heart. Your heart changes your mind. And that's, it's kind of freaky, and you go, well, who can change your heart? And I'm glad you asked that question. The only one that can change your heart is Jesus. Amen. And the only institution in the world that's in the heart-changing business is his church. And you're part of that when you're part of the body of Christ. So He says, make sure that our mind's renewed so we're not conforming to the pattern of this world. And I told you this before, but I think it's noteworthy, and I think it's something we can say again. Some people in some think tanks and some universities and some local governments and some people in high positions, whether it's professional athletes or whatever it is, they want you to think like there's a new normal coming down. And I'll ask you, or you guys maybe can leave it on an email or something. I've asked before, no one's ever given me an answer, and just rhetorical, what is the new normal? And no one's ever given me like a thought or a pattern. And I know people are trying to push us to a quote unquote new normal, where waving the flag is not what we're supposed to be doing. Toting our Bibles isn't what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not waving the flag and we're not toting our Bibles, what is it that we are doing? Here's the deal. You're going to offend somebody when you get out of bed. Just make sure it ain't God. Amen. See, when you preach the truth, it's easy to preach week in and week out. All I got to refer back to the book, and God and the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit does the work. I'm just the voice box here. So he says, make sure that your mind's renewed. And the way our minds are renewed is a regeneration of the heart. My heart can be regenerated every time I get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a cool thing about being a Christian. I can have my heart regenerated every single morning. All I got to do is get with the Holy Spirit. I got a date with God every morning when I get out of bed. Amen. Hold it. let me put it in perspective for you. I get an opportunity, I'm just going to speak for myself, and I know you guys are right there with me. I get a chance to get wisdom and love from the greatest source in the whole wide world. I get to come before the wisest person that has ever lived. His name is Jehovah God, and his son is Jesus the Christ, and he empowers me with his Holy Spirit. So here's what it says. Verse 3, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say, everyone among you must not think of himself more highly than he ought to, but think of himself with sober judgment, each according to his measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though are many, are in one body of Christ, and individually members of one another. Amen. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if from the prophecy in proportion to our faith, if in service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Say cheerfulness with me. Here's the deal. Has anybody ever told you to wipe the smile off your face? Oh, stop for just a second. When you're a Christian, Debbie, you can't wipe a smile off my face. Because I know something the world don't know. And that's Jesus still saves. Be genuine. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, which means don't be lazy in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, in the back half of this message is a list or a litany of byproducts of someone that has passion for Christ or has moved their passion up front. And we'll talk about that at the end of the service. But Let's go back into chapter 12 and start back out in verse 1. And you've heard me preach on this before. So he says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers. Appeal, if you're reading in King James Version, would say, I beseech you. Beseech means to beg. And you ever heard that song, I Ain't Too Proud to Beg, Darling, Please Don't Leave Me, Don't You Know? I'm not going to sing that song, but I just thought I'd bring it up. You go, I'm glad of that. So the Apostle Paul is begging the church to live under these type of conditions in this way of living. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So not just the way or the things that I say, my body, by the way I take care of it, by the way I walk, by the way I talk, should be a living sacrifice to the Lord. Amen? Because let's be honest, if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is walking around inside with me, so I need to take care of the container that I'm carrying God around in. So we're not going to abuse this body, because we know, Brett, he's only given us one body, and it's time to allow God to regenerate and rebuild the body. So if you've tore the body down, it's time for you to let God build it back up. That's all I'm trying to say right now. And I was thinking about that and building the body back up, and somehow this Pilates thing came up yesterday. How did we ever get there? That's on Pastor Aaron for making me do that. So I'm going to have my mind renewed in verse 2 and discern what the will of God is, the acceptable, perfect, good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3, for by the grace of God has given me, I say everyone among you not to think more highly, think of himself more highly than he ought to. So this is kind of like having a haughty spirit or being conceited. Here's what I told the church at the last service. This really is a guy problem here in this church. Guys, especially the middle-aged version, they think of themselves way more than they should. And do you know why I know that? Because I live with a woman. Her name is Vicky. She's my wife. And I'll be down there in the morning before church, and I'm down praying, I'm working out, I'm coming out, and I'm getting ready and everything. She goes, when you walk by the mirror, why do you stop there? It's a true story. And I thought about that, and I told the last services, so I'll do you guys any disservice as well. Because middle-aged guys still really believe that they got it going on. It's still happening. It's still happening. In their mind, it's still happening. So let it go for a while, girls, wives. Let them live out their happening. I don't know why I'm telling you guys all this stuff. I really don't. It's like me doing Pilates on Facebook. These things should not be. So he says we're supposed to use all this stuff with the measure of faith that God has assigned. Each person has a measure of it. Maybe your tank isn't all the way full yet. Maybe because you haven't used all the things that God has asked you to use. Maybe you're still in the little faith category, and you'd go, I'd like to have mountain-sized faith that when I stand and I pray against the enemy, or I pray and believe for my finances, I pray and believe for my health and all these things. Maybe it's time you and I in the body of Christ just believe that measure of faith today should, can, and will increase if we ask for it. Let's do that right now. So, Father God, we just lift our hands to the sky and ask, Lord God, that you increase our faith, Lord God. As you give us more faith, we want to use it for your kingdom and to work in your kingdom and to exalt you and to help our families and our loved ones. In thy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to move over into some fun stuff here. Verse 5, it says, though we, though are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So he talks about using them. And you know me, I'm kind of a guy that always, my wife thinks I'm extreme. She always go, you know, in my family, oh, you're so extreme, you're so extreme. And, you know, it's hard to unwind me. And you're extreme. You're passionate. And I'm pushing my passion forward. And I got to exemplify that last night in my eating when I got home. They asked me to tell you a story. Okay, I'll tell you. I get home, and I'm in my unwind chair, and I'm sitting down in my chair, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just about watching boxing or whatever. And I'm sitting there in my chair, and she goes, hey, you want an ice cream? You ever seen a dog like when you got a treat when you go into the cabinet? I wasn't like that, but I was like, yeah, I'll take an ice cream. Because I'm always kind of geared, Bill, towards ice cream. This is a true story. So she goes, I said, all right. She goes, yeah, I'll run down and get them. We got them in the freezer down there. And then she asked the loaded question, what kind do you want? Better than that. And I said, and I asked the question back. I said, what kind do you got? She goes, I got three kinds. What did I say? Bring them all. Bring them all. Here's the deal. As a Christian, I want it all. Oh, hold on for a second. We applaud after this. You got to be like ice cream. God, I want it all. I want it all. You need to be more passionate about Jesus than you are anything else in your life. Go ahead. Now you can applaud. So you know we're talking about that. And you're talking about the ride for Rocky, and you're talking about all the different things that go on in the church, and God is no respecter of person. He doesn't love any one of us more than another. And I'm just thinking like today, and I didn't know it was going to go this way, but I really believe like there's somebody here today that's ready to just kind of take a step up in the faith area. But you have to be like that. You have to be. So, like, if you were to see the early church and the people hooting and hollering and all these kind of things, they were zealous and they were passionate about their newfound salvation in Jesus. Amen. And don't you remember, close your eyes for just a second, don't you remember the day you got saved and how, you know, for a month or two you were on fire for Jesus and telling everybody about Jesus and never missed a Bible study. You never missed church for any excuse and on and on and on, and people not only heard your passion, but they seen it in you. Amen. And I'm just going to ask, and don't answer back, is your passion more, the same, or less? If it's less, we pray today that God will increase that today through the power of his Holy Spirit. So listen to some of the things he talks about. There's a list of things that is a byproduct of being a passionate Christian. So we're working our way down there. So he says in verse 6, make sure that we use the grace that is proportioned to us. And he said, make sure the one who exhorts, I'm in verse 8, we're working our way down to 17, the one in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does the acts of mercy. What does he say with what? See, that's the problem here. If I do go to church, I'm going to go, but I don't really want to go. And here, if they're passing the offering plate again, I'll give, but I don't want to give. Here's the deal on all of it. If you don't want to give, that's between you and God. Don't give. And if you don't want to come to church, don't come to church. That's between you and God. Here's the deal. If we're going to do all this stuff, we need to do this with cheerfulness. So here's how I think about this. And I use this analogy. And when you're driving down the road, we talk about this often, somebody cuts you off and you really want to say something to them, or maybe it's a, and I thought about this, what would happen if it was, we found out that it was a single mom and she was rushing home to feed her children before she went to her second job. Just say, oh, me, and I'll move on. So here's what I wanted to say. I'll use this, and we'll pick on social media today. In social media, somebody said something about your family or your whoever you're voting for, or who, all this stuff, and it rivaled what you believe, and they said, they even used profanity to describe you or your family. What would happen, he said, that we're supposed to do acts of mercy and we're supposed to do this with cheerfulness. What would happen if you replied this way? Hey, man, I can see that you're hurting. Is there anything I can pray for you and your family about? As a matter of fact, how about this? Can I meet you and your family for coffee tonight? Or are you guys, how are you guys doing for dinner? Can I buy you dinner tonight? And do the, well, I have to do this with a cheerful heart. If you're going to do it begrudgingly, don't do it. But I wonder what would happen if that would change people's view on Christianity, if we actually took this thing that's in our heart and actually walked it out. Amen. And just. So here's some of the things that he said is going to be a byproduct of your passion as it moves forward. Verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, and that means to detest evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be not slothful in your zeal, but be fervent in your spirit. I use Pastor Bevo in this, and I would think that Pastor Bevo would say, hey guys, when you're up there playing, make sure that you're passionate or you're fervent in your spirit. It means to display passion or to display intensity. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. So let's talk about being patient in tribulation. You know some people that are struggling. You know some people that are struggling with COVID. You know some people that are struggling with cancer. You know some people that are struggling in their marriage and everything. So because you gave your life to Jesus Christ doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to have any residue left over. And you'll be thinking about residue however you think about it. Residue left over from your old way of life. Just say amen now that you know what I'm talking about. I got some residue left over. So after you get saved, there's still some of the byproduct of an old life still kind of laying there, whether it's on the table or in the refrigerator, back of the truck, or one of your drawers. And everybody's nodding their head and they're like, oh man, he's reading my mail. Here it is. You know, because we thought about that after me and my wife. I told you about the inventory we did spiritually, and then we physically went around our house and found all the things that weren't glorifying the Lord. And God's like, you really got that up in your house still, and you're up here preaching? And I was like, man, take that down. It's quiet as this church has ever been. See, here's the deal. When we're going through this, being patient in tribulation, or maybe you have a friend that's going through the COVID virus and they go, man, I wish I'd be healed right now. Here's the deal. Just because God has healed you doesn't mean you're not going to have some residue of the effects of you being sick, but he'll take care of them too. And it says you have to be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Now I'm going to ask you to rise up as we go through these last three verses here. And I want you to think about this hospitality here for just a second. Hospitality means to show kindness too. And we were talking about that in the pastors and deacons meeting this morning, that we need to not show just kindness to new people, but we need to show kindness to people who have been here years and years and years and years, because they need to be encouraged as well. Don't you believe that? When's the last time as a church just walked up to somebody in church and just showed kindness to them and just said, you know what, I want to let you know today, I appreciate everything you have done in our church for so many years, and you always do it with such a smile on your face. And I think that would really go far and actually end up being contagious and maybe affect some other people, whether it be in the congregation or outside the congregation. It may change your view on life and your family and let you know today that there is hope not only for the church, but there's hope for America, because there's one person in that church or two people in that church that are going to show kindness to people out there. bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. You know, weeping with those who weep, man. I tell you what, as I draw closer and closer to the Lord, I find myself weeping more and more. I just do. God has just stirred my heart to, I guess my heart's starting to beat and look and sound and smell more and more like Jesus' heart. The things that I used to think were important, they're just not important anymore. And weeping with those who weep. I was watching some videos of these soldiers coming home and meeting their families, and some of them were high school kids, soldiers coming home and meeting their wives, or the wives meeting their husbands. And if you look it up, there's a bunch of them out there. Me and my wife watched a lot of this last night. And everyone, the soldier come home, he'd been gone for a year or 16 months, and sees his little daughter who's a cheerleader, or son who's playing football, or his wife who was working or eating dinner somewhere. They embraced, and they grabbed each other, and they were hugging each other. Does anybody ever think about the servicemen or women that are off in foreign lands out there? I mean, I want to talk to the church here for a minute. We're going to sit here for a minute. We will always, always push our military up front and honor them and pray for them, and our first responders and all that. We'll always be behind them. Yes. Do you realize when you watch these videos, the sacrifice that these men and women do for the country? In one video, I watched a mom and a dad that was serving the country. And they were in their fatigues. They left their family. I don't know why it was that way or anything. Do you realize the sacrifice that our military and our first responders and all of those wonderful people who are servants not only to the country, but to our public? Man, where have we gone as a country or a church where we don't think that they should be revered? Man, I am so happy that I live in a country where people voluntarily go in and fight for our country. I love that. Or the police officers who keep our city safe. I have so many of them that are my friends, and they tell me the same message over and over again. We are so glad that Have Bible is behind all of us. And they say, don't they realize that we have families too? Live in harmony with one another. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. But give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. So on that note, I want to pray. And I want to pray, and then I'm going to ask. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask. So here's my prayer. Pray with me today. Father God, in a world that has lost its way, we're praying today that we make the comeback of all time. We stomp out the effects of the pandemic. We stand against evil. We stand for law and order. We stand for the country. We stand for the men and women that waved the flag and told the Bible. And we believe and we trust in you and the power of your Holy Spirit to get us back on track. Forgive us where we have wronged you or one another. We ask today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, if there's someone here today who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, the most important question of all time, God will ask you this question at the end of eternity as we know it. Why should I let you into my heaven? Your answer cannot be because I went to church or I heard Pastor Pat. Your only answer can be this: I have trusted the work that my Savior Jesus Christ did on an old rugged tree 2,000 years ago, church. I've accepted the payment in full that He has shed His blood for my sin, and I receive Him as such into my heart. And my prayer today is that Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit will help me live for Him. And we give the glory to God for this success. In Jesus' name, His church said amen. God bless you all. Amen.